Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. And let me give you a little bit of background about what precipitated this thought in my mind about this message. I was talking with a gentleman, and we were in my office, and we were talking, and he's not a very religious, not a very spiritual man, but he professes to be a Christian. That's what's really sad. Christians who don't, well, I sort of kind of believe the Bible. And we were talking about the Bible, and then we were talking about Muslims. And we talked about the state of the world and how everything is kind of in turmoil. I took him to the scriptures in Genesis where it said that the descendants of Ishmael were going to be wild men, and they were going to be warriors, and they were going to be very good warriors, by the way. They're very good at what they do. And if you don't believe that, just take a look at a map of the world, and you will see the prophecy being fulfilled where God said that when he spoke to Hagar, he said, your son is going to be a wild man, and his hand is going to be against every man, and he will dwell amongst his brothers. And people say, oh, Pastor, that's kind of harsh. That's really harsh. You pick up your newspaper, and you take a look around the world. Look at the globe, and you see the descendants of Ishmael are fighting everybody. They're fighting in Russia. They're fighting in China. They're fighting in Afghanistan. They're fighting in Iraq. They're even killing folks here in America. But here's what the conversation was. I said, even with all that, they can be saved. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. And he looked at me incredulously. And he said, really? I mean, and he was not faking. He was, and this is the problem with so many in the Christian church. We don't know the scriptures. And we don't know the power of God. I want you to know that before you became a Christian, you were just as lost as any Muslim. Just as lost and just as on your way to hell. And I told him, God has the power unto salvation for everybody. And he was, we're talking a man 74 years old, been around church, in church his whole life, and he was stunned. He was absolutely stunned. And I believe that's actually news to some of the folks sitting here today and some of the folks listening to me online. You don't believe that because somebody else has got this strong religious background where they pray five times a day, they wear things on, they wear an outside covering to show you who they are, you don't believe that God can save them. Well, I'm here to tell you, God got a man up out the grave after 3 days. Don't tell me what God can't do. You pray. You be obedient. And God will save souls. Amen? Let's go to the Gospel of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16 in the King James Bible. And it reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed. This is our key verse, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about because God is able. Because God is able. I'm going to hit four major points out of these 16 verses. First one is going to be God declared. The first one is God promised. Second one is God declared. Next one is we received. And last, we preach. Therefore, we preach. God promised, God declared, we received, we preach. Why do I preach the gospel? Why do I believe that what I'm doing is of any value to anybody? And verse 16 is our summary verse. Verse 16 tells you, because it's the power of God unto salvation for everybody. This is not just a Western religion. This is not just a white man's religion. This is not just a black man's religion. This is not just a Mexican man. This is God's word to the world. And you have to understand that. I have to understand that. Otherwise, we get off into our unholy huddles and we start talking about isms and schisms. That's a technical term for junk instead of the word of God. When we talk about in verses 1 through 3, talk about how God promised. See, God didn't just pop up one day and say, hey, y'all, believe this. Believe that preacher. Just take my word. No, he set it up from the foundations of the earth so that you would have evidence. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for. I can't think of it. You got it. It's evidence. Had one of those senior moments. Part-timers. Not all-timers, part-timers. Anyhow, our faith has got evidence behind it, y'all. This is not some pie in the sky. I hope so, I hope so, I hope so. Because if you don't have that blessed assurance, you can never have peace with God. And see, and that's the goal. You're always going to be at odds with people on some way, shape, or form. That's just the way it is. Because if you stand for Christ, don't forget, they killed him. So if you speak the same words that Christ spoke, you will be at odds with people, but you will have peace with God. You'll be able to go to sleep at night. Okay. Part one, God promised. Verses 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. God made a promise. But here in verse 1, we see where Paul says, he goes, I'm a servant. I'm a slave. That's the literal translation. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And when you're a slave, you do what you're told to do. I know. We live in America, and I know we've all watched enough Burger King commercials. Have it your way. You know, you go into McDonald's and they tell you, you know, you deserve this. And the gospel's not like that, y'all. Serving Christ is not like that. You don't, it's not a buffet. We don't pick and choose what parts we like and what parts we do and don't do. Paul says, I'm a servant. And guess what, Good Shepherd? I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up. Because I told you we're going to be a teaching church. We're going to be a teaching, reaching, missionally minded church. And that includes you. I know whenever I say we're going to be a teaching, preaching, missionally minded church, everybody goes, yeah, preacher, you go. Yeah, preacher, you go. Go. Hey, you know what? I think Sister So-and-so make a really good teacher. Yeah. I think Brother So-and-so, you really ought to tap him on the shoulder. Oh, Pastor, wait a minute. What about you? What about you? Been sitting up in church your whole life, sucking up scripture and doing nothing with it. What about you? Paul says, God called me. He said, I'm a servant. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He said, God sent out a call to me, and I answered it. Some of us, God sent out a call to you, and you didn't put him on whole wedding, or you didn't put him on that mute thing. You know, I love that mute button when is my son in here? No, he's not in here. He's okay now. But back when he was in college, oh, boy, he worked that mute button. We call, instantly go to, I'm not in right now. Where you at? Your phone's in your pocket. What do you mean you're not in? You're in college. What you got to do? What you got to be doing? See, that's what some of us do with God. We look at the phone. So, God wants me to change this in my life. Well, I just put him off for a little bit. I'm kind of busy right now, God. You know, me and you, I got me a ticket to heaven. I got a ticket to ride, so I'm good there. And, you know, when I get old, I'm going to serve you. But in the meantime, I want to have my cake and eat it too. Yeah, so I'll answer the phone later on. Paul says, God called me. And then he separated me. He took me away from my family. He took me away from my friends. And most of all, he took me away from focus on me. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And you'll see there, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, talking about the saints, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost who distributes the gifts to people, the Holy Ghost said, I see two men over there. I see Barnabas and I see Saul. Separate them to me. I've got a work for them to do. Now, I don't know about your Bible, but I was looking and I was trying to see that part in there where the Holy Ghost said, why don't you see if Paul and Barnabas want to come and do some work? Is that in your Bible? That's not in your Bible. Y'all don't have any of those faulty Bibles? The Bible says, separate Paul and Barnabas and send them to me. Did he ask their opinion? Did he ask for their qualifications? Did he ask for their capabilities? He said, separate Paul, Saul, and Barnabas and send them to me. And now you see here in Romans where Paul has responded. And this is just the book of Romans, though it's listed early in the New Testament in your canon, it's really not one of the first books that Paul wrote. It's definitely after 1 Corinthians and possibly after the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but it's definitely not the first one. But they put it here because of its importance. He says, I was separated unto the gospel of God. I was separated to tell people the good news. I was chosen to be able to tell people how good God is. Don't you know when you're a Sunday school teacher, your primary purpose is to tell people and show them the path of how good God is. When you're a preacher, when you're a teacher, I want you to know here today, right now, some of you are at odds with God. You're truly struggling with some stuff. I want you to know, I'm giving you the gospel, the good news that God has loved us so much that he has made a way for his enemies to get back to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, look at here. I'm a servant called to deliver that good news. Amen. The good news which he had promised, verse 2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Paul says, this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, long before I got here, God had wrote about it. God had wrote about it in his word. His prophets had said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. You need to be looking for him. He's coming, he's coming. Jeremiah, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. When you get there, say amen. Jeremiah 23, one of the prophets. I didn't hear anything. Amen. Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6, and it reads, the prophet Jeremiah, he speaks. He's saying, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah says he's coming. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a scripture that you're very familiar with. You hear it around Christmas time. Excuse me. All the time. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it reads in the King James Bible, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Paul tells you here in the book of Romans, he said, God already made these promises to everybody. So when Jesus came, when he was born of a virgin and he came and he was born in Bethlehem, none of these things were secret. All these things were prophesied. So everybody was supposed to be looking for him. And Paul says, the reason I'm preaching is because God promised a son. He was going to send his son. Verse 4, we talk about God declared. Verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, God declared. And it reads, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God. Paul said, you know why I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified? He says, because God declared. How did God declare? God made evident that this was his son, because when they put him on the cross and they executed him, they publicly executed him on the cross. It's a historical event. And they put him on the cross and they put him in the grave for 3 days. And God let him stay in the grave for 3 days. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he rose him from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, because Jesus had said the reason they executed Jesus, y'all, don't miss this. They executed him because he said, I am the Son of God. And they said, you're trying to make yourself equal with God? And Jesus said, I am the Son of God. And here Paul tells us in the book of Romans, he says, God declared it through the resurrection. After 3 days in the grave, through the resurrection, through the power of the resurrection, he was able to stand and say, I have declared, I am the Son of God. Because can't nobody be in the grave 3 days and get back up but the Son of God. Amen. You have to understand when your friends are talking to you about, well, you know, Jesus is a good man and Jesus is this. But all the while, they're denying that he's the Son of God. Don't let them do that. Why would you let somebody stand there and call your God a liar? Oh, Jesus is a good man. He was this and that. No, he said he was the Son of God. And if he's not the Son of God, then he's a liar. But if he is the Son of God, then you're a liar. You don't give people wiggle room like that. They don't like that. They don't want to hear it. But the cross is literally life and death, church. It's life and death. And when you're talking to people about Jesus, Paul says, I want to give you the good news. And the good news is that if you'll accept this truth, now that he's been declared, now he's been openly declared, he got up from the grave, now that he has been declared the Son of God, if you want to know the good news, here's the good news. If you believe that, well, how difficult is that? Only thing keeping you from believing it is you. He says, if you believe that, look at how God made a level playing field across the world, across every culture on the planet, no matter how much education, no matter how much money you have or don't have, no matter what your mama taught you, no matter what your daddy taught you, no matter what grandma taught you, he says, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead after 3 days, proclaiming him to be the Son of God. He says, if you believe that, he will give you everlasting life. What a deal, church. That's good news. That's good news. Any other religion, any and every religion you go to, any and all non-Christian, truly Christian religions that you go to, they're going to tell you, you got to do something. You got to do some work here now. You got to do some work here in order to get your portion in heaven. The Bible says true Christianity teaches you that you work because you've been given a part in heaven. Otherwise, if you worked and God had to give you heaven because you did X, Y, Z, guess what that's called? That's called a wage. That's called God is a debtor to you. And God said, I will owe no man nothing. Nothing. It's good news to know, because I want you to understand, if whatever Jesus didn't get done, if you think you're going to get it done, you're living in a fool's paradise. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Amen. It is finished. How tough is that to take, y'all? But I want some credit, Lord. I want to tell people I was a prayer warrior. I was a soldier of the cross. I struggled up the rough side of the mountain. Oh, you mean I just got to say thank you and serve it? Is that what that scripture is? It is finished. And now that which I do to say thank you. No more, no less. I want to give him the glory. I want to give him all the glory. And I want to be able to tell other folks just how good God is. So it says that he promised, God promised. How do I know that God is able? Because he kept his promise. How do I know that God is able? Because he declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God through the power of the resurrection of the Holy Ghost. I know he's able. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. And it reads, be known unto you all, and to all, this is Peter speaking, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a declaration from the Holy Spirit, y'all. So you know what that means? That means that your friends who are caught up in yoga and Hinduism, it's not going to save them. Your Muslim friends, they can be as nice as they want to be. You can have breakfast with them. They're not saved. Your Jewish friends,
if they don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sin, because there's no other name. Joseph Smith, all your Mormon friends who are really nice people, hardworking people, etc., so on and so forth. There's no other name which has been declared by the Holy Spirit to be the Son of God. Not my opinion, it's what thus saith the Lord. And Peter's explaining to him, when you see where he says, he goes, he's the stone that the builders reject. It never ceases to amaze me when I'm talking to people and they say, well, you know, I've got my relationship with God, and in all these 12 step programs. Well, you know, I believe there's a higher power. Okay, read your Bible. The Bible says there are God's many, little g, and there are Lord's many. That's what it says, right? Read your Bible, even in the book of Genesis. Everybody had their own God. That's not news that you say, well, I've got a special relationship with God and I've got a higher power. That's not news. That's right there in the Bible. So Christians, you should be able to say to your friend, okay, I'm glad that you have a higher power, but I want to let you know that there's no other name given under heaven by which you can be saved. Now, you can call your higher power Buddha. You can call your higher power Muhammad. You can call him whoever you want to call him. But I'm here to tell you the good news and the bad news. And the good news is there's no other name given. There's not one. And it's been declared to be the Son of God. And the bad news is, if you don't bow, then you will be eternally lost. And don't say that cavalierly, because we're talking about folks' souls. We're talking about folks that God created. We're talking about folks that Jesus Christ went to the cross that they might be saved. But if you don't let them know the good news, they will find out sooner or later. There's no other name given under heaven by which man can be saved. And that's because God is able. God has declared Jesus Christ to be his Son and the only one and the only way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes unto the Father but by me. That's why I preach this gospel, because I'm sold out for that. I believe because I see the evidence. I see where this man who only lived 33 and a half years, this man who only preached for 3 years, this man who started in the middle of, who in the world knows where Jerusalem was at that time, just a little dusty roads of Jerusalem, and this man preached, and his 12 disciples turned the whole world upside down through the power of God's word. I'm sold out for it, y'all. I'm sold out for it. And that's why I got to tell folks. I got to tell them wherever I go. I got to give you the good news. I know God's able because he promised that he was going to send a Messiah, a Savior. I know God is able because he declared, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he declared Jesus to be the Son of God with power. And in verse 5, I want you to see what Paul says in verse 5 of Romans chapter 1. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among some nations. Oh, I thought I'd get you on that one with some of your contraband translations. He says, for obedience to the faith among all nations, church. All means all. He is the God of everybody. He's not just the God of the plains, the God of the mountains, the God of Israel. He is the God of everybody that has been promised and declared by power. And Jesus, and Paul says, he says he was called to the apostleship and we are called into the kingdom. And look at that word, for obedience. Oh, man, I could just about shorten that to a four-letter word in 2016. Obedience? Wait, you mean to tell me God going to tell me what I can do? Don't you know I'm free? I'm born in America. I can do this, and I can get my burger any kind of way. I can live where I want to live. I can drive where I want to drive. Don't tell me what I got to do. Obedience. And look at what look at the caveat. Whenever God tells us to obey him, because I'm the first one to tell you, obedience, especially through those teen years, oh, man. You talking to me? Don't you know who I am? I didn't even know who I was at the time, but it sounded good. Obedience? That was the furthest thing from my mind. As soon as I walked out my mom and daddy's house, as soon as they invited me to leave the house, I ain't gonna obey nobody. You tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. I'm grown. Oh, but I didn't understand. I didn't understand that when God says obey him, he always tosses in a blessing. Because he know we got some of that Adam in us. He know that we got that belligerent side. And he says, I bless you. When you obey him, there's a blessing attached, y'all. He tells us when it comes down to talking to the Jewish nation. Because he saved us, and I won't get off onto that, but I'm just letting you know, God talks about being a witness to the children of Abraham, to the Jews. He goes, I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll curse those who curse thee. God said, if you'll just make it your business to take care of my business, which is to witness to my folks, and us, we're going to see where in verse 16 it says, to the Jew first, and also to all the nations. He said, we have to purposely put in our hearts to declare what God has declared in his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, I did it. I called you for obedience. Man, one day, this is like a dream. One day I'm going to go into my office. And after church, people are going to come knocking on my door. Pastor Will, I want to serve over here. Ooh, thank you. Pastor Will, I want to take some classes so I can learn how to be a Sunday school teacher. Ooh. Pastor Will, I want to teach at the ladies' tea. Ooh. Pastor Will, I want to teach at the men's burgers and fries, but first I want to sit and be taught. Obedience. But I don't have time, Pastor Will. That's what I hear. I don't have time, Pastor Will. Let God put you on your back for a while. You'll get time. I've been there. He put me on my back. See, because guess what? When you're on your back, you can look up real good. Lord, help me. He has your full, undivided attention. But right now, while you're able, right now, while you're young and you got all this energy, you young folks, you got all this energy. God doesn't change. He doesn't so much change your personality as he changes your direction. He wants to take that same stubbornness that you have. And he wants to turn it in his direction. And oh, won't you be a warrior for God if you could just let him. Look, the Apostle Paul told you, he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Jew. He goes, I had more zeal than any of the teachers out there. He goes, I was a show enough. He says, but when God got a hold to me, he didn't change my personality. He changed my direction. I got some kids out here. Y'all can raise all kinds of hell. I want you to start raising all kinds of heaven. I want you to let God change your direction. Change the way that you're headed. Take that same energy, but point it to the cross. Talk to your friends. Tell your friends about Jesus instead of just chit-chat, idle chit-chat about nothing. He says we were called for obedience to Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Ooh. I was watching a show the other day, and it's an old song, and we've turned it almost into a secular song, but the truth of the matter is, one of the greatest songs ever written, is when the saints go marching in. We treat it as a very trite thing, but think about the people who wrote this song, the people who had just come out of slavery, the people who were just getting their footing in this country. Just think of these people. They were saying, you know what? I may not have much right now. But when the saints go marching in, you know, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And some folks have people believing you can't know if you're a saint or not. Read your scriptures. Read your scriptures. If you've been called by Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus Christ in the pardon of his sins, you ain't got to bow down to some statue. You can say, when the saints go marching in, or when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. When the sun refuses to shine, I want to be there. I want to be there. That should be every saint's desire, because he's telling you right there in Romans, you are a saint called to God. Now walk worthy. Walk worthy. And tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And he says, and Paul says, and I'm praying for peace for you from our God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Something you can't find at the end of a pipe, peace. Something you can't find in the bottom of a bottle, peace. Something you can't find in illicit relationships with other folks, peace. That surpasses understanding, that you can only get as a gift. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. But you can yield your members and receive the gift of peace. Man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I know some of y'all have been stressed. I just know a smattering about a little bit of most of everybody in here. And some folks through here have been through some stuff. They've been through some stuff. And I talk to them about it. And they say, Pastor, if Jesus hadn't brought me through, I would have lost my mind. Because when your whole world is shattering and crumbling around you, everything you ever hoped for, everything you ever dreamed about, and it's coming down hard and fast, Jesus is your anchor, y'all. Jesus is your anchor because he's able. He's able. Paul goes on. I pick up with verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Folks, pray for yourself, but pray for one another. Pray for the church. Pray for your nation. Pray for our Congress. Pray without ceasing. And he says, and I make request if by any means, verse 10, by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul is saying to the rest of the saints,
Paul says, I've got some stuff that I've been dealing with. I got some issues I've been dealing with. And you got some stuff you've been dealing with. He said, why don't we come together and encourage one another? Instead of coming together to talk down about Sister Sally so-and-so and to talk down about Brother so-and-so, why don't you and I come together and let's encourage one another in the Lord? It doesn't matter what happens on the daily soaps. It doesn't matter what happens on the daily talking head shows. I can't even hardly go to a restaurant to eat my burger because there'll be somebody, some national syndicated talk show, somebody just talking, making no sense about anything. And then they go from one mindless show to another mindless show. And saints of God, you only have so much time. None of us know how much time we have. Why waste it talking about this 32-year-old boy who won't move out of his parents' house and his parents are upset with him and his daddy's standing there and his mama's standing there and they got to call Dr. Phil to find out what to do with this 32-year-old boy who won't move out the house and he won't work and he won't do... Who cares? I mean, what is that? How do you get an audience for that? But they never fail to have an audience while people are on their way to hell, because while we're sitting back not giving anybody the good news, we're not telling anybody about Jesus. And these folks never lack for an audience for nonsense. Oh, church. Me and the brothers are talking about it back in the office. We're just talking about, and I know many of y'all know how this feels. Just think. There have been times in your life, and I know there's been times for all those of you, where you have actually stood up and said something on behalf of God. You've been in a situation where you might have said, I don't know, and you the Lord gave you the boldness to say something. And it wasn't well received, but when you walked away, you felt like, wow, man, I stood up for Jesus. Man, it can become habit forming, y'all. Come and be equipped, and it will become habit forming. That's what we're called for. We're called to be messengers. We're called to be able to tell people about the goodness, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's not just the preachers and the teachers. That's all those who are called saints. And that's everybody who has confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and who has believed in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He said, that's it, y'all. That's the good news. That's the good news. If you believe that, then tell somebody else so that they can have an opportunity to go to heaven. Let them know. Just let them know. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. That phrase, I would not have you be ignorant. God uses that phrase in the New Testament, I believe, about 5 times. You want to know why I push Bible education? You know why I push teaching? Why I push coming to class? For why I push saying, parents, bring your children on Tuesday nights. Parents, bring your children to Sunday school. You know why I push that? You just read it. Because God says, I would not have you be ignorant. My first Bible class, my wife and I, we laugh about it frequently. When I went to my first, I went to Southern Bible Institute. And I got in there, and on the first day, and Dr. Reed, Lord rest his soul, he'd gone on to glory. Dr. Reed, he stood there in front of a class of about 50 people, 40, 50 people. And he said, I know all y'all come from different religious backgrounds, y'all, you know, been taught this by your grandma, you've been taught this by your grandpa, and auntie so-and-so that taught you all this stuff. And he says, and the fact of the matter is, you are ignorant and proud of it. What an introduction from your class, from your teacher, your first year teacher. He says, you're ignorant and you're proud of it. He said, and my job is to get you to empty that cup and to get you to come to this book and open this book up and receive the teaching that is in here. Now, if it lines up with Mama taught you, cool. But if it doesn't, he would take you and he would show you line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little, everything that he was teaching you was what the Bible was teaching. I want the folks here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church to be able to pick up this Bible and learn this Bible. You know, many of our children, some of our children don't even know the first five books of the Bible. Some of our children, you tell them about Moses, and they say, oh, does he play basketball? Some of our adults don't know a whole lot more. Come. The problem is not that you don't know. The problem is not that they don't know. The problem is you won't do anything about it. That's the problem. Come. Sit. Be taught so that you can share the good news with confidence. So that you can walk out into the marketplace and you can boldly declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. And then you could take them to the Bible and show them where it tells you that. He says, I want to see some fruit. I want to see your lives change. I want to see marriages blossom. I want to see little kids who have to grow up way too soon in this, you know, some of the stuff that our kids have to deal with at this stage of life, it's incomprehensible, y'all. Their childhood is being stolen from them. And I want to be able to, when we give them the Word of God, it lets them have some of their childhood back, and it lets them have a childhood, y'all. There is a period where they get to be a child. Let them be a child for a little bit. You're going to be grown soon enough. He goes, I want to see some fruit. I want to see where folks don't get angry so quickly. Where the things that you know, when somebody cuts you off, instead of making obscene gestures to them, you say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Or when somebody, even in the church's parking lot, takes your favorite parking spot. Before you go and key their car, I want you to say, it's all right. It's no problem. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because Christians get mad, too. We get mad. And that's why the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Because we get mad. Sometimes over the silliest things, but we do get mad. But that maturity kicks in when you get mad. And then you step back, you go, oh, almost got me on that one. Almost got me on that one. But you let the Holy Spirit take control of your mouth instead of the flesh take control of your mouth. That's fruit. That's what Bible study does for you, y'all. That's what Bible study, it's fertilizer on your salvation. Verse 14. First we talked about because God promised. Then we talked about God declared. Then we talked about we received this gospel message. Now I'm going to talk to you here in verse 14. Verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Wait a minute. Paul told you he was called, he was set aside by, he was called by the Holy Spirit to do this work. He was set aside. And And he said, now I got this message and I'm going to declare about Jesus is the Son of God, declared with power by the Holy Ghost. He said, when I heard these things, I received this message. And now he's telling you, now that I've got all this stuff, he goes, I'm a debtor. Wait, what do you mean you're a debtor? Did Paul borrow some money from somebody? Did he take out a new 7-year, 8-year car loan? I think my next one's going to be, I think if the Lord allows me to make it to about 85, 90 years old, I'm going to take out a 10-year car loan. And I'm not even going to get that insurance on there that, you know, you pays off things. I'm just, hey, you drive it. I don't need it after a while. So anyhow, I digress. How does Paul become a debtor? How does he become a debtor? I think this is so great. Turn your Bibles to Romans 13, 8. Romans 13, 8. What is the mystery behind this particular scripture where Paul says, I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians? He kind of sounds like my philosophy of life was I got friends in low places. And he said, I'm going to go hang out with the Greeks and the barbarians, with the wise and the unwise. This sounds like the DNA of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We're going to hang out with everybody. Amen. Romans 13, 8. And it reads, Romans 13 and 8. And it reads, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Didn't he say you were called to obedience? He said we're called to obedience. Paul says, you know what? He says, I'm a debtor to the Greeks. I'm a debtor to the barbarians. I'm a debtor to the wise. And I'm a debtor to the simple-minded as well. What he's saying here, church, is because I've been given the gospel, in obedience, I'm in debt to go tell everybody that I know about Jesus. Because it was given to me freely by the blood of the Lamb, now I have a responsibility. I have a debt of love that I owe. I'm telling you, when you don't tell your unsaved friends, when you don't tell your unsaved family that they are unsaved, you don't love them. You don't love them. You don't care a flip about them. Because if you took seriously the debt of love, we would take the hard looks of our children. We would take the hard looks of our brothers and cousins and sisters and uncles and blah, blah, all those folks. We take their hard looks and we still tell them, Jesus died for you. And Jesus said, if you'll just accept that, you shall be saved. Paul says, I got a debt. The Old Testament prophets used to say, I got a burden. Do you have a burden for anybody? Is there anybody that you wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, give me this person? John Knox, a great Bible teacher from old time. John Knox said, he's quoted as having said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. And he poured his life into the mission work in Scotland. The man was thrown in jail for what? For preaching the gospel. Threw him in jail and threw away the key. But he said, I want my nation. I want my nation to know about Jesus Christ. Do you have that burden for your nation? For our nation? Do you have that burden for your family? Can God put a burden on you to say, I owe a debt? They haven't done anything to deserve it. They don't deserve the gospel. Nobody. But I have a debt to give it to them. That's what Paul is saying. And my heart's desire is that everybody here, everybody listening, if you don't have a burden for the lost, ask God to give you
the love that's necessary to reach outside of yourself and care enough about somebody who's on their way to hell and tell them about Jesus. Can we do that, church? Can we do that, church? Can we tell somebody about Jesus? Paul says, I have a debt. And because I have this debt, here's our key verse. I'm going to read 15 and 16 together. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, that's why a lot of people don't tell people about Jesus. We're scared somebody going to find out that we're a Christian. We're scared somebody going to find out, oh, you're one of them people, one of them Bible thumpers. You're one of the people, you go to church on a regular basis. Oh, you even go to Wednesday night. Boy, you must really be in deep. Paul says, because I'm a debtor, and then we talked about the promise, God promised. I know God's able because he promised. I know God's able because he declared. I know God's able because we received it. He made sure we received it. And I know God's able. And because God is able, therefore I preach. Because God is able. Because everything I know about God tells me that he is able to do everything that he said he will do. Amen. And Paul, when I see him here in verse 15, I think about, there's a song by a group called Creedence Clearwater Revival. Old school shit. Old school. But the guy had a song called, he said, put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. All you who played any kind of sporting activities or debate or anything that you did in school, at some point you felt, I'm ready, coach. Send me in. I'm ready. I'm chomping at the bit. I want to do this. I can do this. But God is saying to you right now, get this desire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm your boy. Take me, use me, do what you want to do with me. Yeah, at some point that has to come into our lives to where you say, I'm ready. Eddie, what'd he say? I'm ready as anybody can be. Oh! I'm ready. And that's what Paul is saying. I'm ready. Give me somebody who don't know Jesus. I'm going to get it to them. I'm going to give them all I got. I'm ready. What you talking about a Muslim don't want to talk about? Talk about Jesus. This is what I do, man. This is what I do. Give me a Mormon. Talk about, oh, well, you just don't understand the Bible good enough. Jesus was a good example. No, you're on your way to hell. Let me tell you the truth. Oh, I don't talk about religion and politics. Well, I do. I'm ready. Let's talk about it. Why would I try to hide what God has given me? Paul said, I'm ready. Why in the world are you sitting on everything that God has given you over your lifetime? When are you ever going to be ready to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm ready. Give me a burden for somebody to tell them the word of God. Yes, I sincerely doubt that they're just going to fold up like a cheap lawn chair in front of you and say, oh, I was waiting for you to come tell me that. They're not going to do that. But I don't have to convince anybody. What I have to do is tell them. I am a debtor. I'm debtor to the Greeks. I'm debtor to all the nations, to the barbarians. I'm debtor to the wise. I'm debtor to the unwise. I owe everybody that God brings into my path an explanation of why I believe what I say I believe. That's not too much to ask. That's not too much to ask. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6. Here you have the summation of Isaiah. He's seen this vision. He's seen this vision of God. In Isaiah, he's standing there and he's looking up
And it's a vision of God. He's looking up and this is one of the most overwhelming visions that you're going to see written out in Scripture. And he says, I see the seraphim, and I see them flying to and fro. And they got two wings to cover their eyes and two wings to cover their feet. And with two wings, they're flying all over the place. And they keep saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, holy. He goes, I'm looking at all this. And he's looking, in this vision, he's in the very presence of God. And something occurs to him. He says, I'm not fit to be here. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not supposed to be here in the presence of God, and I'm not fit to be in the presence of God. And the Bible says that one of the seraphim takes a hot coal, and the coal represents the fire, always represents judgment. And the Bible says that the seraphim flew over to him, and he placed the hot coal on his lips. And something incredible happened after he put this hot coal on his lips. After that judgment came upon him. See, those who don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know that all your sins were judged at the cross. Your sins and my sins were judged at the cross. That's what this hot coal represents. The judgment of God. And all of a sudden, after the judgment of God touches the lips of this man who hitherto said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I shouldn't be here. But look what happens. Look at the transformation in verse 8. He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, don't miss this. This is the man who had just said, I can't do this. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man, I shouldn't even be in the very presence of God. But look what he says. When the word says, whom shall I send? That's the challenge to everybody here. If you know God is able. If you know God is able to keep his promises, if you know God is able to declare Jesus Christ his son from 3 days in the grave, if you know that you have received the message, when that word comes out and says, whom shall I send? We should be climbing on top of each other. We should be stepping on people's heads. This should be like a rock concert gone bad. People running on top of people and trying to get up close and saying, come on. Whom shall I send? And we should say, send me, God. Send me, Lord. Send me. I want to go do some work for you. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. But until that judgment, until you know that you got peace with God, you can't do that. So at some point in time, you've got to say, I believe that Jesus Christ came. He died. And he rose from the dead, paying for my sins. And the Bible says, when you do that, you shall be saved. Verse 16, last verse. Why do we preach? We preach because we know God is able. But why do we preach this gospel message? Paul says, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He's no respecter of persons, y'all. It is the gospel that everybody has to come to. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. He says, to the Jew first, that has to be a priority of the church. At some point, church, God said, I saved you to provoke the Jews to jealousy. We have to get a mission-minded for reaching the unsaved children of Abraham. We have got to get that as part of our mission mind, y'all. We say, but what about me? God has already told you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and everything else that you need. God said, I got your back. I got your back, but I want you to go get my people to the Jew first. But they don't want to hear it, Jesus. This is not optional. To the Jew first. And also to the nations. He said, that's why I get out here
and I preach because I'm not ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed of anything I'm telling anybody because I know I'm telling them the truth. I could stand flat-footed and talk with anybody about anything, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I'm not ashamed. I don't want you to be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed. Last thing I'm going to tell you about. I was driving down the street the other day. I saw a horrific wreck. And there was fire trucks. They had the highway shut down. There was fire trucks, and the car was upside down. Car was upside down, and I saw a fireman, and he had those jaws of life, and he was tearing at the car with those jaws of life, and that got me to thinking. I said, "Man, what? That's some kind of invention," and I kind of did a little history on the jaws of life, and it tells you that there was a man named George Hurst. And he was an avid stock car fan. And he used to watch stock car racing all the time. And anybody knows that when you have stock car racing, there's going to be a crash. That's part of it. There's going to be a crash. And he said in 1961, he was watching a stock car race. And sure enough, there was a crash. And it took over an hour. Because when cars hit cars, you got twisted, bent wreckage. And it took over an hour to extradite the race car driver from the vehicle. And George Hurst, the wheels start turning in his mind. He said, what can I do? What can I come up with that's more powerful and able to undo the damage and the carnage that a car wreck has done? What can I do that'll break all this up and be able to set these people free quicker? What can I do? And that was in 1961. And 10 years later, he put out a patent for the jaws of life. And you guys have seen them. There, it's this hydraulically operated thing where it reaches in and it literally tears cars apart. It saws, it pushes, it tears. And this tool, which is really not big at all, it's about this big, this tool has the power to set man free in a matter of minutes as opposed to hours. When you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, and you're caught up, you are caught up in sin. You are bound by the devil. He's got your name, your number, your email, and your job address. He follows wherever you go. And you're trying to figure out, what can I do to extradite myself from the situation that I'm in? I'm in sin. I don't know God. I don't know God, and I don't have any peace. I'm pretty sure that when I die, if there is a hell, I'm on my way. And that's what they're saying to themselves. And they're saying, I hope I'm going to heaven. But they know they haven't passed that judgment yet. They know they haven't. I got some news for you. Right here in this book, I found something that's stronger than sin. I found something that's stronger than death, hell, and the grave. And this is something that I done found. It don't even take minutes to extradite you from death. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's able. God is able. He says, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, he said, quicker than quick, you shall be saved. Church, God's able. God is able. Get yourself a burden for that message. Tell somebody, God is able. God bless you. God keep you.